All right, I'm going to wrap it up with Psalm 23. And so if you turn your Bible with me, this, the last verse of Psalm 23. I hope you get the gist of all the meaning we've been going through Psalm chapter 23. We see very beginning that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This means you have everything you need, and you need nothing more. And he will take you to restore your soul, feed you, give you drink, so helping your physical life. And the third verse you move into, he restore your soul, helping your spiritual life. Then after that, he leading you to the shadow of death, helping you go through some trial, temptation. And when you going through all the mountain and hill shadow of death, you will come across there, and the shepherd prepare a table for you in front of your enemy. Life is not over yet. The sheep has not over yet. They're not coming home yet. And so now we hit in the last verse, verse 6. Here's what David said. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now he put this very verse, very end, to help you to see something. Now after a long day where the sheep had been gone, eat and drink and all the trial, they ready to head home. It's a long journey. I don't know about you, but there's a time we have a long journey, you just want to head home. Nothing like home. Nothing like home. Some of you students have been travel across the country, stay in the dorm. When you come home, you have a good home-cooked meal. Right? Nothing is like home. David longed, just as the sheep longed to go back into the fold, David longed to go home. He went through so much up and down in life. So much temptation, persecution. People tried to chase him and kill him. Even his son tried to steal his throne. So many things happened in his life. And his daughter is dead because of his sin. His wife mocked at him. And so he went through so much, he come to the point of his life, he ready to go home. Now he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. When he says surely, that's meant for sure. Exactly. It will happen. There's no doubt about it. He went through life more than you and I. He know for sure that through his life, he know goodness and mercy will follow him. Go with me in the Psalm chapter 37, verse 25. Psalm 27, verse 35. I'm sorry, Psalm 37, 25. 37, verse 25 says this. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. You see, if you read, you live a right life, God will never forsake you. See, David know very well, he lived a righteous life, he lived a right path. Throughout his life, he know that God had never forsake those who come after him. Never. Whatever you do wrong, God will help you. Now, to start with this, what Psalm 23 will help you understand that God knows the end from the beginning. Now, you and I live in a life that we might not know the future, what's going to be like. But as a Christian, we should know exactly what it's going to be like. We should worry day in and day out. Worry something happening today. Worry about the job or the school. We know at the end from the beginning if we call the Lord as our shepherd. I know one time that I came to the home of Mr. Jesse Arroyo watching the TV and a tennis match between Nadal and Federer. Is that Federer and Nadal? And they played 10 minutes, and I was on my seat and watching those couple hours. I'm very tense. You know, I love tennis, watching. And if you play tennis, you know, there's five sets. You have to win the best in five sets. Anyway, Nadal have two sets. He win two sets. Federer win two sets. Nadal win two sets. And so last set is really important. And so I sit right there, and I watch the game. And my favorite player is Ferro. And I love his match, I love his swing, and he's losing. And I'm so upset. And he run after the ball. I said, "You're so slow, you gotta run after the ball." You know, I kind of tell him. And when Nadal win the game, he said, "How can you do that?" And so yeah, I've been fighting with the TV, if you will. You know, talk with the TV, and Mr. Jesse Arroyo sitting in the back in the kitchen, and say, "What's going on? What has happened to Fasavin? He's getting so upset with all these games." And so, come to very close game, and Mr. Jesse Arroyo come up, and say, "Why were you upset? And Federer going to win anyway?" I said, "Really? Why?" Well, he pre-recorded the program, and so he knows. So I wasn't paying attention about it. And so after I know that Federer will win, I'm relaxed. I know what the end is going to be like. Your Christian experience, you know what the end is going to be like. You shouldn't get upset. I shouldn't get upset. I shouldn't worry about it. Yes, God wants us to be focused, but leave everything to God. I know many Christian experience, we worry day in and day out. If we take our eyes off our problem and focus our eye to God, we know what the end will be like. God would never forsake those who follow him. If I follow Jesus to build this mission center, I should worry. Maybe delayed, maybe short of money, but everything in God's hand, why should I worry? It's not mine. In first place. So a lot of time in life we so worry so much and we start losing God. And so here David tried to point us out. Here, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Not only one day, not only 2 days, but the rest of my life. Imagine goodness follow you the rest of your life. Just imagine you live with your parent, everything is supplied. And God promised that goodness will follow the rest of your life. Are you happy? Yes. Everything provides you. And so God said, "I provide you." And David tried to assure you that he provides to you the rest of your life. Don't worry. But he didn't stop there. He said, goodness and mercy. Have you heard about someone say, "Have mercy on me, God"? Something when you sin, when you have walked astray, yes, God have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Please save me. Remember the two person who pray, and one of the Pharisees say, "Pray, God, thank you for my good life, that everything I do perfect, not like the one who next door that he commits sin." But the one who next door says, "I'm the sinner," say, "Lord, have mercy on me." That's what you and I going through. Every single day that you find goodness in God have loving you and giving you. If you drive in a car, you just miss an accident, God goodness have been with you. But if you commit sin, at the end of the day, you say, "Lord, have mercy on me, forgive my sin for what you have said, for what you have done." And that the word mercy is hit home to me. A lot of time I have committed sin. And sometimes I dare not to look at God. Say, "God, this is so great of sin. I don't know. Can you forgive me?" But all I can cry out, "Lord, have mercy upon me. Forgive me." Just like David. David feel like he have left God. He feel like the Holy Spirit have withdrawn away from him. He have committed murder. He have steal someone's wife, and he lead the nation in the wrong way. He feel like he have lost God. All he can do is just cry out to God and fast and pray, "Lord, have mercy on me. Please come back. Where is your Holy Spirit?" I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like that. Sometimes I feel, where are your spirit? Please don't leave me. Remember, I imagine that David prepared all the wood, all the material to build the sanctuary for God. He's so excited. At least he can do something to repay his sin. You know, sometimes you feel like that. Lord, I'm going to church. Now I'm going to pay a tithe. I'm going to help in the church so I can make up all the sin that I have committed. Now when the Lord facing David and the Lord say, David, thank you for preparing all the material, but this is not your job to build God's house. I save your son. Can you imagine how David feels? It's not because of money, it's not because of energy. He wants to do something for the Lord. He wants to do something for the Lord. And there's sometimes you feel, Lord, I want to do something for you. And God say, I have leave that to someone else. I don't know you, but sometimes I feel hurt. Lord, I want to do something for you. Let me do it. So there's a time that God calls you to do it. Do it. Don't be leave one else. Feel. So David crying out. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. He believing that God goodness and God mercy follow him the rest of his life. And he's telling you and I today, doesn't matter what happened to you. Doesn't matter where you come from. His goodness always fall upon you because he promised he will pour the rain upon the wicked and righteous. He will pour goodness upon you, but he also share his mercy upon you. Whatever sin that you commit, whatever you have said that hurt God's heart, he will forgive you if you come to him. How's your week? Have you done something that you need God to forgive you? The mercies shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, when the shepherd leads the sheep through the wilderness, and so all we have usually two dogs, and in the back, it's called sheep dogs. The shepherd always go ahead, right? Wherever the shepherd go, there goes the sheep will follow. That's how it is. But there's some sheep will go astray, just like human beings. Sometimes we go astray. We find out something better beyond the mountain. We want to go there. Now these two dogs is keep the sheep in place. When the sheep go out of fold, the dog try to bark and try to get the sheep back. Try to scare the sheep back into the fold. And also the dog also try to scare away the predator. Just like two sheep, one sheep is goodness, other sheep is mercy, will follow you to keep you straight. There's a time you go astray. There's a time you will miss church. There's a time you don't spend time with God. And this dog will help you to come back. And God will use every way to bring you back to the fold, back to the church. But also the dog tried to scare the predator away. You know, sometimes you are astray. And that's what happened. The predator is ready to snap you. You see, it's really hard for predator to try to chase the whole sheep, whole flock. It's focused on one. You notice it? You watch the History Channel, you focus on that. They focus on one weak sheep. And especially the one who go astray. That's what it focuses. The devil will work on your life if you start to go astray. It's hard for him to attack the whole church because the church will come together and pray. And God said, where there are two or three gathered, he will be there. But when the one goes astray by himself, by herself, very easy to get tempted. Easy to fall into the predators. That's why you and I, we need to stay together. Don't break off. Don't find something new. And we start to go astray. That's why these dogs help you get back. And there's a time that you don't listen to the dog. Sometimes you don't listen to the Holy Spirit. And you can sin against the Holy Spirit by doing your own way. So many people at the end time. I have heard that so many people will leave the church at the end time. It's hurting me when the churches start to, people start leaving for something better in the world. That's what they think. But God have given me the promise that there's more and more will come to take the place. I wish you and I listen to this verse, not go astray. That you add, you can think about God's goodness and mercy will keep you intact. And if there's anything that you should pray, that God will give you trial and persecution in such a way that you can stick your stay close to Jesus and not wandering away. So David have understood that very well. He could go astray. He could be boastful that he was a king, riches, everything. But he decided to follow Jesus, follow King Saul. And you and I, same thing. When God's goodness fall upon us, we shouldn't be boastful and start wandering off and saying that I don't need God anymore. And that's where we start to go astray. But David continued, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Out of all the people that written the Bible, David said, I will be in heaven. Heaven is a real place. Today, so many people think heaven is a very vague place, a place that's no man land. You just fly in there and barb. Like the have been portrayed. No, heaven is a real place. So many people. That's why David said, I will dwell. Dwell, this means there's a place that you can live. A real place that you can reside. A real community that you have a neighborhood, that you have friend and family. My friend, that's a real. I don't know how many people are start thinking about that. I have not seen so many sermons preached about heaven because people put way off either no heaven or that's been a long time. We have been influenced by other people, especially the educated people. Sigmund Freud say that the father of psychology say this when he mocked the Christian. Heaven is a human fantasy rooted in men's instinct for self-preservation. It's something fantasy. Some people make up. I remember when I was a Buddhist, and when I once I lived in the Buddhist temple. You know, when in the summer, my grandma take me to a Buddhist temple and stay for 3 months. I learned so much about Buddhism, not by the reading the scripture or the text, but by watching, by looking at all these portraits, all these images, all these drawings. And scary to death. And I talk to them and say, it's not real. But son, if it's scary enough, it's good. Sometimes it's not real. Sometimes people portray the same thing with heathenism. And we can portray the same thing about heaven. It's not real. But if you do a good deed, you will go to heaven. My friend David didn't say that. He said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. It's a real place. If it wasn't a real place, he wouldn't say so. If you turn with me in the book of John chapter 14. John chapter 14 starting verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my house are many mansions. Many. If it were not so, I would have told you. If it's not real, Jesus wouldn't tell you. I will go prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. It's a real place. God go and prepare a mansion for you. And he may go a long time, more than 2,000 years. And sometime we start to think about you not coming back. And so we create our own heaven. Just like the Israelites in the wilderness. When Moses goes so long way, 40 days. Oh, he's not gonna coming back. Some beast probably swallow him up the mountain. Why let create us a golden calf, or create us a new god so we can worship? That's what happened to so many people on this earth. When heaven is so real at one time, and now it's not real anymore, we start to create something else and replace it. So David reminds us, you hold on. Are we long to live in the house of God? There's three types of heaven when we read the Bible. The first heaven is called atmospheric heaven. Atmosphere in Genesis chapter 7, verse 11 to 12, and say is a heaven where birds fly and a jet streaming. And another heaven is second heaven, and say that planetary heaven, where Genesis chapter 1 recorded, where sun and moon and stars, that's a second heaven. But where the third heaven is this, turn with me in the book of Psalm chapter 115, John 115, verse 3. And this is real heaven that not many people think about it. Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in heaven. It does whatever he pleases. God dwells in heaven now. Where God was heaven. And so God said, I have been in heaven. I know the real place. And I prepare that for you. Some people say, well, you can see first heaven by day, second heaven by night, but only can see the third heaven by faith. My friend, if you can see the third heaven, that means you have faith. And God gives you that faith to believe that third heaven that God will bring about. Well, there will be a time the first and second heaven will wipe away. If you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, it's plural, the first, second heaven, will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both earth and its work that are in it. Will be burned up. It's talking about second and first heaven will burn up. Now, some people think, I will escape from God's wrath by flying to the moon and create my home in there. I don't know about that, but my Bible says the first heaven and the second heaven will burn up. You can't escape God. If you go to the north, he will be there. If you go deep to the sea, he will be there. You can't escape God. But when the gods come, the day of the Lord coming, the second heaven and first heaven will wipe away. And the third heaven will come from the sky to this earth. Which heaven will you want to be in? Where you want to put your heart in? I know David, he placed his heart in heaven where God resides. My friend, heaven is real, and don't take your eyes away from it. Dan Necker is a German sculptor. People ask him to make a face of Jesus Christ out of stone. And have he make that, he spent 8 years, 8 long years, to study and meditate, and he make a they kept feeling through the face, and they wept, and they asked for forgiveness. And his name had gone across the land. And the heathen come to see Mr. Necker and say, could you create a beautiful face of Venus? And he turned around and said, how could that be? I have spent a long 8 years to look at Jesus Christ. How can I forsake it and create Venus and the heathen goddess? My friend, when you focus God so much, you don't want anything in the world. Nothing in the world will attract you. But if the world attracts you, that you have not focused and spent enough time with Jesus Christ. My friend, I plead with you. So many people are run away from God and to something else that they feel better. Better happiness. No. David to stick with God. And to the end, he say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Where's your treasure base? Where you put your treasure in? Where's your treasure? That's where your heart belongs. Is your treasure in heaven? Is your heart long for to see Jesus? Is your heart long to see your loved one? My friend, Jesus is waiting for that day to take you home. John Newton, the author of the beautiful song Amazing Grace, he said there's three wonders when you go to heaven. The first wonder is, say, you will see that there's some people in heaven that you would think that will never make it. The second wonder that you see people should be in heaven is not. And the third wonder, you see yourself in heaven. And I hope so too. We need to work our way. We need to pray God. We need to stick close with God that we can see ourselves in heaven. Where are you with the Lord today? Where are you? David spent the rest of his life going through trial and tribulation, and he can pen down that Psalm 23. So you and I can experience that. Whenever trial comes, you read Psalm 23. Recite Psalm 23. When you have blessed by God, you should recite that. And when the end of your life, you should recite that to know the Lord is good. The Lord is there for you. Look upon him. Don't follow into the wind of doctrine and the sucking of the society. How many people of you have been walked on the escalator? How about going down when the escalator go up? I mean, when it go down and you try to run up. Well, I did that when I was a kid. If you stand still on the escalator, it will take you down and down and down and down until you step into this world. So you and I as a Christian, we need to work hard to walk up, run up, and focus as Jesus. You have to work at it. David worked it, and he depend everything on God. If you don't do anything today and tomorrow and next year and 10 years from now, I guarantee you will go down and down into this world. As a Christian brother and sister, I plead with you that you have a devotional life. Accept Jesus in your life. Because the devil out there do everything, try to take you away from Jesus. And Jesus do everything possible to save you in his loving hand. Which one you rather go? God promised you eternal life, and the devil promised you eternal damnation. For me and my house, I will follow the Lord until he comes. And God bless you.